The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen. He was confused. He had done everything that God had asked of him and his family. It had been many years since God appeared to Abram with a promise. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So they did as God asked. Abram and Sarai gathered up their entire household, left everything that they knew, and they went. They journeyed to the land that God showed them, and they waited. They waited for a child they had been waiting for already, a child of promise, a child that would become the first of their many descendants, a child who would in turn become a great nation, a child who would be blessed and become a blessing for others. Time passed. They waited. They went to Egypt and returned. They waited. No child. They grew prosperous, even became wealthy, but still no child. Years went by. They waited. Finally, God appeared to Abram once more in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Never before had Abram spoken back to God. God had appeared, made promises, proclamations, but it was never a conversation. Abram and Sarai didn't share their fears with God. Fears founded in the impossible challenge of leaving everything they knew. Fears of the unfamiliar terrain, the unknown road along which God was leading them. Fears of promises unfulfilled. They didn't tell God about what they went through each month. The hopeful expectation that this would finally be when it happened. The little death they died each time it became clear that their wait must continue. Did they begin to doubt? How could they not? In light of everything they had given up, all of the faith and trust they had placed in God, of course they questioned when, or even if, the promised blessings would materialize. And so this time, when God appeared with promises of a great reward, Abram spoke up. Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir? Abram is looking within himself, into the deepest, darkest places in his soul and sharing with God the pain he finds there. He is offering his lament to God. Now, somewhere along the way, we have lost touch with the art of lament. This is a very different art from the art of complaining, which we tend to be masters of. Lament is something fuller, richer, more complex. It is the process of looking deep within ourselves, naming the things that pain us most, that make us feel the most vulnerable, and then handing them over to God. When did we become convinced that God prefers to hear our joys, our desires, our songs of praise and thanksgiving? When did we become afraid to direct our doubt, our sorrow, our anger at God? So often we act as though God's investment in our relationship is fragile. That if we reveal the extent of our emotional messiness, God might withdraw. Ooh, that human condition is more than I can handle. The summer after my first year of divinity school, I was serving as a chaplain in a hospital. It's an internship that is required of most priests before we are ordained. You are thrown into the raw emotional stew that is a hospital, while at the same time you are asked to unpack your own emotional baggage in a group of strangers. It's a really fun time. About 3/4 of the way through my 10-week program, I was emotionally exhausted. I'd prayed with the families of countless dying patients, held the hands of parents as they tried to make sense of what doctors were telling them about their sick children, and at the same time, I had been gazing deep within myself, naming my most closely held fears and my most vulnerable wounds. And to be honest, I didn't really like what I was uncovering. I hadn't slept enough in weeks. Every day was colored by a tinge of sadness. I was carrying with me this smoldering fire of anger, and of course, I wasn't expressing any of it. One day, as I talked my way around my pain and my rage, my supervisor looked me directly in the eye and said, "You know God is big enough to take your anger, right?" I was speechless. I had been working so hard to shoulder the weight of my hurt, my angst, on my own. And the God who made me, the God who loves me unceasingly, was waiting to share my burden, waiting for me to loosen the white-knuckle grip with which I was holding my pain. God was waiting to hear my lament. God invites us to own and be in touch with the deepest hurts of our hearts. In our lament, we cry out to God in the belief that God hears us, that God accepts our cries, our hopes, our needs, our anger, our pain. And in accepting them, they become God's cries, God's hopes, God's needs, God's anger, God's pain. Theologian and activist Dominique Gilliard writes, "Lamentation is uncensored communion with God, visceral worship where we learn to be honest, intimate, and humble before God. Lamentation is both an acknowledgement that things are not as they should be, and an anguished wail, beckoning the Lord to intervene with righteousness and justice. We need lament in our lives. We need lament in our world. We need to reclaim this lost art because we cannot help but cry out in lament. The senseless murder of 50 of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Christchurch, New Zealand, of 11 of our Jewish brothers and sisters in Pittsburgh, of 9 of our Christian brothers and sisters in Charleston. We cannot help but cry out in lament at the loss of these and so many other fellow descendants of Abraham. We cannot help but cry out in lament for all lives cut short because of the color of their skin or the words of their prayers. We must lament. We must share with God our confusion, our anguish, our rage. We must allow our pain to become God's pain, because in doing so, in the act of lamentation, we make space in our souls for God's love and grace. God's regenerative spirit, God's comforting embrace that seeps into the very center of our being. lament makes space for healing. God hears Abram's lament and responds by expanding the promise, by gesturing to the night sky. Count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. And Abram is comforted and believes. Lament also drives us to address what is causing the pain, to name the persistent and pervasive sin of white supremacy that still plagues our world. Lament is what fuels our motivation to eradicate that sin and work to remake the world in God's image. Lament helps us heal the wounds of that sin. We live a faith in which lament is never the end of the story. We believe in a God who has promised to wipe away the tears from every eye. A God who conquered death and the grave that we might not only live, but live in abundance. A God in whom lament gives way to resurrection and rejoicing. My prayer for each of us this Lent is that we might find ways to give voice to our lament, to find the sources of our doubt, our fear, our anger, our pain, and give them to God, so that when we arrive at the cross and the empty tomb, there will be space in our souls for the transforming power of God's love, God's healing, God's grace.